Paul, in his day, he was a man that was rejected. The Bible said Jesus was a man that was rejected, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And Paul was a man that was rejected because he came into what was called the revelation of Jesus Christ. And of course, when he came into it, people didn't understand it, especially his people. As a matter of fact, not too long ago, I was on an airplane going over to Jerusalem. And while I was sitting there, I got to talking to a man about God. And this man, of course, was a Jew. And as we began to talk, he said, "You're talking about Paul the Apostle." I said, "Yeah, that's the one, Paul." He said, "Yeah, that hard-headed fellow that was always causing trouble." And I talked to him, you know, I didn't scold him. Because like Jesus said, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. But I thought as I talked to him, I thought, "Mister, you're not even worthy to dust his shoes. And you're talking about that great, mighty man of God. Caught up to the third heaven, saw things that wasn't permissible for him to speak." And the Gentile overseer, the overseer of the entire Gentile church, God had chosen him. And here was a man in his ignorance calling him a hard head. You have to make allowance for that. As we travel around the nation and around the different parts of the world, we have to make allowance for that. While we were over in Alaska just a few days ago, preaching there at the Church of God and at the Full Gospel Businessmen, we preached to them. We made allowance for those that couldn't understand. And wherever we go, we make allowance. Sometimes we're preaching to Catholic people. Sometimes we're preaching in a Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, or we're preaching to Jesus' name people. And sometimes we're preaching to what they refer to as oneness or Trinity people. And sometimes you're just preaching to people that don't know nothing about nothing. You know, and a lot of times you're better off to preach to those kind of people. You know, the Bible says the drunkards and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before religious people, because the religious people say that they're going, and then they get worldly and they don't live holy and godly. And those people that are out there in sin, that's drunkards, they realize they have a need for a Savior. And they repent, saying that they would not go, they repent and do go. The others saying that they would go, they get religious and stand at the door and don't go in. And the others that's coming, they hinder them with their ritualistics. Instead of going on into the Bible and going on into the Word of God. And, you know, when you stand before people that you've never preached to, and in every meeting you have those, whether you have tent crusades or whatever, in our tent crusades, we have many multiplied people that we've never seen before. And in preaching to those people, as I say, many of them don't understand. You just have to do the best you can with them. That's all you can do. The best you can. We've got some people here tonight that they don't know our ministry. They're not acquainted with our ministry. We've got some here that, quite a number of people here that's acquainted with our ministry tonight. But this I'd like to say, we're always on trial when we come before people like this. Always on trial. And that's not bad. The Bible said, "Try the Spirit, see if they be of God. Prove that which is good, and then hold fast to that. Once you prove it, then hold on to it." So we're always on trial wherever we go. And we're on trial here tonight by some folks. They've already let me know that we're on trial. But I appreciate Brother Dale. I appreciate him. I can see that Dale means to stand for Christ Jesus without compromising, no matter who falls off along the way. I can see that from what he said tonight. He didn't have to say those things. I hadn't beforehand indoctrinated him into anything. Dale didn't have to say anything in my defense or as concerning our ministry, not at all. I didn't require anything out of him. I just come here to fellowship him. He invited me over. I came here to fellowship him. And so far this year, we haven't set one tent meeting. And the reason is because we've been busy with other things and some things on the home front. And we're planning to get back to the evangelistic field, having some tent crusades this year, if the good Lord's will. God has blessed us greatly in our tent meetings. He's blessed us in our television work. He's blessed us in our radio work. He's blessed us in our printed page. And we're very grateful. I want to say again, I hope you don't mind me taking a few minutes to talk with you. Our ministry has been unique, and it's been perhaps a little bit different. Tonight has a great significance. We have tried to be led by the Spirit of God. And wherever God told us to go, we've tried to go. Paul spoke of going up to conference with Peter by revelation. And Paul also said, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, that is by revelation, but seeing that you're babes in Christ, I can't do that. Said, I would that you were spiritual. I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. But many people are not spiritual. They're doctrinal, which I believe is the right way. I run into many people and they say, we don't preach doctrine. You know, so you got the extreme. Everywhere you go, you've got an extreme. And you run into something one way. Here, over there, you run into another way. And someone would say, well, I'm not doctrinal. I don't teach doctrine. But then the Bible asks us the question, who can I teach doctrine? They that are weaned from the breast. And the Bible teaches that we should abide in the doctrine of Christ. Well, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he's in the will of the Lord. To go without doctrine is foolish. People who say they don't teach doctrine don't have nothing. So we have that to contend with, just like we did while we was in Alaska. But on the other hand, there are people that are doctrinal. And they're so doctrinal that they don't have the love of God. And they don't have the understanding of God. And as it was in Jesus' day when he met them, they did not want to be associated with him because they were afraid that if they named him, they'd turn him out of the synagogue. The same thing prevails today. People don't want to associate with the truth because they are in a religious organization that's a little clique. And being in that organization, they are afraid that they'll be turned out of it. So they refuse to stand for Christ. They don't want to fellowship Christ because if they really name him, they'll put him out. That's a sad state of affair, but of course that's the denominational world of today. That's people that are, they say they're non-denominational, some of them, but they're more ecclesiastical and more denominational than the average denomination. Thank you, Grace. The average denomination. It's like I told the full gospel businessmen. You pull yourself away. Saying we have no doctrine, you know, they pull themselves away. And then they say, we are going to have fellowship out of everybody, where everybody can come. Catholics, Jesus' name people, Church of God people, all kind. And they do come. I preach to them at the full gospel businessmen's places. See, and they say we're going to do this because we don't have any doctrine. But it's like I told them, I said, what it is, I said, you've got a doctrine. I said, but your doctrine is your own ecclesiastical way of doing things. I said, you've conferenced together and you've got up your ideas and you've got up the thing that you want to do. I said, and that's your doctrine. And everybody has to conform to your doctrine. And your doctrine is that you are a people without doctrine. I said, that's your doctrine. And it was shocking. It was shocking. See, so that's the way it is. People are in error. And God has not given us the spirit of error. If a person is in error, he had to get that from Lucifer. Because God does not give the spirit of error. Tonight it was requested that we not make any videos, so I asked him not to make any video. And the individual that requested it said he requested it because he belonged to a certain sect of brethren. And he didn't want them to be upset at him. So I said, don't video. I said, just leave off with it. It's okay with me. Whereas I have permission to video, Brother Dale Clark said, you go ahead and video, Brother Pike. You do whatever you want to do. But I said, no, we won't do that. Because that puts Dale on the spot. That puts some of the others on the spot. We video because we use it on TV. Or we use it there at the place at our campground. We have a closed circuit thing there at our campground where we don't show nothing but godly things. And we don't allow nothing to come in but godly things. And our people and the different ones coming in, they rejoice over the fact that they see you people praising God, loving the Lord. But, as I say, there are those that have their ideas about things. I hope you don't mind me testifying, Dale. I wouldn't have taken this route here had not have been confronted as I was. I remember being in a Church of God one time. We was at a Church of God over in a certain place, and the pastor, he loved me very dearly. We had a whole house full of people having a revival. And he come out, and he's in the car with me, because I usually sit outside until church time, you know. That is till preaching time. And he said, Brother Pike, would you do something for me? I said, sure, if there's any way I can. He said, and he staggered around. He said, you know, the Jesus name, and he staggered, stumbled. I said, oh, yes, I know what you're talking about. He said, hold off on that? I said, is that what you want me to do? He said, yes, that's what I'd like for you to do. I said, you're sure of that? He said, I'm sure. I said, no problem. He got out of the car and left. I cranked up and I drove off, and I left him with a house full of people. I've never been back. I was in Atlanta, Georgia. We was there at a theater, and we were having a crowd of folks. And this man's a well-known minister. If I named him, you'd probably know him. But he said to me, he said, Brother Pike, he said, you know, said, I really love your ministry. I think a lot of your ministry. I think it's great. He said, but there's just one thing you don't know how to do. Or he was telling him this. And I thought, well, there's a lot of things I don't know how to do. He said, you don't know how to take an offering. And he informed me, he said, he told him I didn't know how to take an offering. And he informed me, he said, you get that money. He said, get that money. He said, it don't matter if you have to prophesy or cry or whatever. He said, get that money. And of course, I was in the middle of a revival, you know. And I said, are you sure that's what you want me to do? He said, I'm sure. I said, all right. I said, if you're sure that that's what you want me to do, you know what you're talking about. He said, yeah. I left him and I've never been back anymore. I left him with his revival and it was there. So that's the way I feel. You know, we're not called to compromise. In every tent revival that you have or every meeting that you have, practically every meeting you have, as a rule, you have some that when you get to preaching, the devil's got them there for one reason, and that's to spy out your liberty. And when you get to preaching, just about the time that you get along in the message a little ways, up they go. You know, and they go out to discourage the rest of the people. They do it with a regularity. And they're there for that purpose. When you start trampling the wheat and the winnowing fans start, the chaff comes up, and whew, away it goes. God blows it away. So, I'm standing here tonight to witness to you, to testify to you, to tell you about the love of God. And as I say, it has great significance. Being here has great significance. This little tent, the colorful sections that it has in it has great significance. Dale, the Bible said that a man's heart is prepared of God. His steps are ordered by the Lord if he's a righteous man. And Dale didn't just come about this tent for nothing. It isn't just a coincidental thing, but it has great significance. And if you were spiritual tonight, some of you, and I know some of you are, but if some of you were spiritual tonight, I would elaborate and I'd tell you what it has to do with. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. We've been privileged, folks, as a truth before the living God, for years to be led of the Spirit and to understand the spiritual world, to know what's going on with the president, to know what's going on with the pope, to know what's going on with the people, with the movements, and in the kingdom of God. And God has blessed us to speak of these things many times, and they've come to pass year after year. The news media has carried it. The different papers, TV, radio, spoke of numbers of things. concerning the presidents, concerning the senators, concerning the preachers, concerning PTL, concerning 700 Club, and concerning great operations overseas, concerning Israel, concerning the Church of God, concerning the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning the UPC, concerning the non-denominational people, concerning the preachers, concerning the laity, concerning individuals. And it has been exactly that way. Being here is not coincidental. It has happened to a T, as I told my wife it would happen. I told her before we left what it had to do with. And I think my daughter Susie might be here. I mentioned some things to her. And it has happened exactly to the T before I could even get in the tent. It happened to the T as to what we said. So it makes me real happy. You know, if you know whose side you're on, and if he tells you all about it before you go, then you know you're on the right track. Let's give the Lord a hand, Daniel. So I praise God for that. I praise God for good, honest-hearted people that love the Lord Jesus Christ and that wants to do the right thing. We're not here to scold you. We're not here to belittle you. We're not here to tear you down. As Paul said, we are your brother and we are a helper of your faith. And we're here for the purpose of helping you. So whatever we say tonight, we say it in that way. I understand the Bible some. Maybe I don't know as much about it as some of you, or maybe I don't understand it as much as I ought to. But I've been through it numbers of times. And I say this because some of you don't know our ministry and you would stand in doubt of us. But I've been through it. I've read the New Testament through, as I've said, numbers of times. I've read it through on my knees. And I have seen the time just studying when I'd read four Gospels without getting up, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, without ever moving. So I'm not here in ignorance to the extent that I don't study the Bible and I don't give some time to study. I understand fasting. I understand praying. Numbers of times I've gotten down on my knees and watched the sun rise over the horizon in the morning before I got up. Or been down the woods and wait for the daylight to come. See, so I'm not here in ignorance. That's not to know who God is and who I'm serving and whether or not I'm running as one that beateth the air. I say that for your benefit. I understand. But I do think it would be good that when people contest something that they know what they're doing. And like a man that we had a little biblical contest with down in the valley over around Alabama. He came over. He was one of the chief leaders in an outstanding movement, a religious movement that you're familiar with. All over the country, they're familiar with it. And I was ministering there at an assembly of God. And he came around to my trailer. And he was with a different movement from the assemblies. And he began to talk with me, and he said, I want to know something. I said, brother, will you do one thing with me? I took the Bible. I said, now, if we're going to enter into a discussion, I said, let's acknowledge one thing. And I say this to you. The Bible says that every man's ways is right in his own eyes. Which means I believe I'm right. I have to do that to have stability of faith. You believe you're right. You have to do that to have stability of faith. And whatever your level is, whatever my level is, we still have to do that to have stability of faith. I said, but knowing that, I said, and knowing how man errs, I ask you to do one thing. I said, take your Bible. I said, and we'll sit down and we'll reason together. I said, and every time there's a disagreement as to what you think or I think, we'll go to the Bible. I said, every time we disagree, we'll go to the Bible. And I said, and if the Bible says it, we won't argue over it. We'll let that be the great final. He said, that's good enough. So when the morning came, he said, Brother Pike, before the living God, he said, I know that you're right. and said, I want to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin, and I want this, and he followed it. He left his movement. He had a church there, and as far as I know, he's still going strong today. So see, it's just a matter of getting together on the Word of God. You come and request something, that's one thing. You come and put your finger on something, that's another thing. But when you really want the truth, what you'll do is say, Brother, would you give me verse and scripture for what you're teaching? And you know what? Now this is my conviction. My dad's passed on, a very wonderful man, but if he was living, if my dad had taught me something, and someone like Brother Dale or someone else had come and showed me the Word of God contrary to it, I'd have left the teachings of my childhood and I'd left the teachings of my dad and I'd left everything that they told me and I'd accepted one thing. That's what the Bible says. Abraham laid his own son on the altar and that's what I would have done. All right. Strangely enough, I need a Bible. Have you got a Bible? I didn't bring one in. A lot of times I do this. The Lord wants me to use a certain person's Bible. And this wouldn't be yours, is it, Dale? I can see that that's good. You know, I believe in the real Word of God. I don't care for the new Bibles. So here I am with Dale's Bible. So if Dale was speaking, this would be what he would speak to you from, and this is what he'd speak to you about. So that's what we want to do. I'll try not to hold you long. I know it's getting late, and I took quite a bit of time here talking to you, and it's been a little bit of time spending the preliminary part of the service. I want to read just a little bit in chapter 11, St. Matthew's, beginning of the first verse. This is the 11th chapter. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and shew John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violence take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Now, I'd like to just talk a few minutes here. This is a peculiar sort of a gathering, and this has such a great outstanding significance. And then, of course, when you meet opposition, when you first come on the premises, you know you want to be sure that you thoroughly understand and that you can do exactly what God tells you to do. There was a brother that called Brother Dale up, brother's wife, that is one of the leading evangelists in the nation, and out of the nation in some parts, and told Dale that he would have a meeting, that he would have a meeting out of the feel like this, and one or two things, and said, Dale, said, during your meeting, said, the devil's going to raise his head up and show his head. And Brother Dale told me earlier, said, Brother Pikes, that had been wrestling. He spoke of wrestling with the devil continually all day long. He told me this earlier. And tonight, the intellectual mind started tonight to cause problems or to hinder the meeting. So it's very obvious that something is taking place. Now, we're not to hurt you. If you want to repent, you can. If you don't, go as far as Judas and crucify Christ all over again and put him to an open shame. And we want to help you. We want to stand with you. We want to do anything that we can. Tonight, we're here for that purpose. But you've got to be spiritual. If you intend to go on with God, you're going to have to be spiritual. How do you understand that? It's going to take being spiritual. If I go on with God, I'm going to have to be spiritual. And if you go on with God, you're going to have to be spiritual. And you're going to have to remember that God is a spirit. God is a spirit. The intellectual concept of religion, that's all right. You can have your intellectual concept of religion, and that's all right. But I'm telling you that you're going to have to go on with God, and you're going to have to get into a spiritual state of mind before you ever excel in God or before you ever understand the Holy Scriptures. The Bible tells us that God is a spirit, and they that worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. Many years ago, though the people were very primitive so far as their learning in God, they were very spiritual to whatever they understood. And though they were real emotional, yet they still were spiritual to the degree of their understanding. And they had great revivals, and they had great miracles, and they had great healings. And the same thing is here today if we apply ourselves in the same way. On the day of Pentecost, they were in one mind and one accord. That wasn't the Baptist mind and the Methodist mind and the Catholic mind and the UPC mind. That wasn't the Church of God mind and the Assembly of God mind and the Full Gospel Businessmen mind. That was the mind of Christ. The Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he didn't try to make himself a reputation. He humbled himself to the extent that he washed the disciples' feet. So then, one mind, and that's the Bible mind, that's God's mind. As long as you're in your mind, and I'm in my mind, and they're in their mind, we're going to cross up. We're never going to come together, and the great Holy Spirit is never going to move in our midst, because the Bible says that when one member suffers, they all suffer. And as long as you've got a bruised finger, as long as you've got a broke arm, as long as you've got a bruised foot, then your whole body is going to be in misery, and you're not going to be able to really feel good. So the church is one great body of whom Jesus Christ is the head. One great body, and until we all come into the unity of the faith, we are going to be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. There is no such thing as faith coming together from different parts of the world as to heathenistic practices and heathenistic religions. There is no such thing. There's no such thing, because there's only one faith, and that faith is the hearing of the Word of God. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God, and there is no other faith, so there's no need of people talking about many faiths coming together to worship. There is no such thing. There's but one people with their one faith, and those people can come together. And those people can worship God, and that faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. And the Bible said, in the last days many shall depart from that faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And the Bible teaches that in the latter times, your time and my time, that many would wander off from the Word of God. It tells us to examine ourselves and see if we be in the faith. You examine yourself tonight. See if you're in the faith. See if your conviction is in the Word of God. See if your conviction is your ideas. Your conviction of believing may be your ideas. And I say this so often, believing will not take you to heaven. I don't care what you believe, it won't take you to heaven unless you believe the Word of God. Because believing is not faith.
Faith in the Word of God is God believing. But you can believe you're on your way to heaven when you're on your way to hell. You can believe you've been healed of cancer when you're dying. You can convince yourself all you want to. You can join all the churches you want to. You can say, I'm part of the brotherhood and I believe in this and I believe in their doctrine. But that won't take you to heaven. When you come to the Word of God and you believe the Word of God, then you have faith. And if you don't believe the Word of God, then you don't have any faith. So then tonight, what do we need to do? We need to forget about Brother Pike. We need to forget about every denomination. We forget about all of our churchianity. Forget about all of our relationship and fellowship with family or with people, and take God's Word. And when we take God's Word and put it out there before us, believe in what the Word of God says. And what the Word of God says, stand by it, whether mother wants to receive it, whether daddy wants to receive it, whether daughter's son, whether neighbor, whether preacher, whether it's a movement that you're affiliated with, whatever it is, stand on the Word of God. You stand on the Word of God. You may not be aware of it, but let me tell you something. The very person that you're protecting, the very group that you're protecting, you may have their blood on your hand. But God may expose you to the real thing, and God may bring you to the real thing, and God may show you the real thing. And you may be God's champion of justice in that group. You may be God's Joshua in that group. You could be God's Abraham in that group. God may have them depending on you because they won't move. A lot of people that socialize religion, they can't afford to move. They've got too great a following. A lot of people, they've got too much money. They've got too much popularity. They've got too much at stake. They can't leave it alone. Let me tell you something. I had a vision. A vision of a great gathering. A great gathering. And this gathering I saw in a great city. I thought, what is this? I didn't see a preacher. And I saw tens of thousands of people. And I thought, well, what is this, Lord? When I came out of the vision, I was amazed because I saw so many thousands and thousands of people gathering together without a preacher. But later, that came to pass over in Washington, D.C. I was there and our people gave out 100,000 pieces of literature from our presses there at that meeting. And the whole area, everywhere, was covered with thousands and multiplied thousands of people. They were in the trees. They were on the top of the buildings in Washington. The whole grounds were covered around the Capitol and everywhere. Thousands and tens of thousands poured in. I had made the statement. I said, someday they'll come together. I said, the Trinity people and the Jesus name people will come together. I said, the UPC will come together with them. Somebody said, no, but they did. In Washington for Jesus, they did. Nathan, one of the great leaders there, he brought the people, and all of them got together concerning the UPC, and all of them went together. You know, I made the statement, I said, they'll come together because of monetary values. All of them are rich. All of them think that they've got it. The Bible said in that day, they'll say, we're rich, have need for nothing. And they don't know that they're wretched and naked and blind. Somebody would say, you mean to tell me, Brother Pike, that UPC and those kind of people that you're speaking of as being holiness, that those people are blind? There's hundreds and thousands of them that are blind. I preach to them. I know that they are. See, so you can't go by some denomination. You can't go by something that somebody says is the religious move of God. You've got to get in and find the Bible and find the Word of God and find out if they're preaching the truth and find out if that's God's way. And if it's God's way, go with it. And if it is not God's way, get away from it. And as I said, it could very well be that you are the man that God picked. You are the woman that God picked to be able to bring them the truth. You know, tonight I'm not talking about anything real deep tonight. I'm just talking about surface things. I'd love to get in here like Paul. I just love the deep mysteries of God. The Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul said, I am a steward of those mysteries. And I just love to get into them. But I'm just preaching a little bit and exhorting you a little bit tonight. Folks, we've got a job to do. Do you believe that? We're supposed to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. See, we're supposed to be growing. If we're just coming together, some group, and all we ever do is say, repent and be baptized in Jesus' name, we ain't getting nowhere. There's more to it than that. Paul even got so aggravated with that, he said that God didn't even call me to baptize. Said he called me to preach the gospel. Said I plan to polish waters. He did not discredit. He was not speaking against baptism in Jesus' name. He himself went down there and got baptized in Jesus' name. God sent him down to the street called Straight, and the man said, be baptized, Paul, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of Jesus. And brother, let me tell you, I appreciate Dale's boldness to put it up out here on the sign where people can see it, because I believe in baptism. A lot of people say, well, Jesus never did teach that. Jesus said, go into all the world and baptize. Jesus said that. You know, you talk about water over there where he said, let the man be born of the water and the Spirit. Somebody said, well, that means the fleshly birth. That's true. There's a reference to the fleshly birth. And then you get over there where Peter said, in the like figure whereinto baptism does now save us. And speaking of Noah, and they'll say, well, that means baptism by the Holy Ghost. But nevertheless, when you get over there down at Cornelius' house, them people had received the Holy Ghost. You know, you go to Acts 2:38 and you preach baptism in Jesus' name. They say, well, that was for the Jews. That was true. See, but was it just for the Jews? If it was, why did God choose Peter to go down there to Cornelius and preach baptism in Jesus' name to Cornelius and to those Gentile people? Peter said, God making a difference between us choosing me to take the gospel over there to the Gentiles. And I perceive that God's no respect of person. We're in every nation where men fear God. God respects them and God will turn his love toward them. Isn't that right? God said, don't call unclean and don't call common what I've cleansed, Peter. Isn't that right? So then baptism is right. But they speak it away and they speak it away and they speak it away. And somebody says, I've got the Holy Ghost, Brother Pike. I don't have to be baptized anyway. I've already got the Holy Ghost. But nevertheless, Peter down there at Cornelius is having the keys to the kingdom, men commissioned of God to go down there, and the angel appearing and telling Cornelius to send up there and get that Jesus name preacher, if you'll pardon my expression. Isn't that right? You know that's what he's going to preach. You get a Jesus name preacher, what do you expect him to preach? He's going to preach Jesus' name. God knew he was a Jesus name preacher. And he just loved that name. Everything in heaven and earth has to bow to it. Jesus said, it's my Father's name. Isn't that right? And he said, that is the way of the remission of sin. That's a strong tower. The righteous flee into it and are saved. So then, what happened? While Peter was preaching, all of a sudden the God of heaven began to move and the Holy Spirit began to fall on them. And as the Holy Spirit began to fall on them, they began to speak with tongues and they began to have a good time. And God and Peter said, now, seeing that you have the Holy Ghost, it's time for baptism in Jesus' name. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody said, well, wait a minute, I got the Holy Ghost. He said, that's fine, now get baptized in Jesus' name. For the Holy Ghost will guide you into all truth and righteousness. Hallelujah. Preaches baptism in Jesus' name. Brother, I don't care if it's a full gospel businessman. I don't care if it's a church of God. I don't care who it is. They have to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. So then this is what Dale's preaching. This is what Brother Pike's preaching, because he said all should speak the same thing. Hallelujah. You say, I believe in the church of God. I do too. The best church of God people I know of is baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, you say, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. As I was preaching out in California, down there in Anaheim, California, around Disneyland, I was preaching for the full gospel businessman, and God revealed to me some things that was going on. And I confronted the chapter leaders with it, and the woman, the wife, finally confessed, said, well, I have been baptized in Jesus' name. When I was in Alaska, I pressed the issue up there, and I found out that the man that's the vice president there at the Full Gospel Businessman chapter, he finally acknowledged, Brother Pike is right, baptism in Jesus' name. I've been baptized, you know, like Nicodemus. They're hiding away, but they're still there. Glory to God. I preached the sermon, the axe is laid to the root of the tree, and the people was down on their face there in Anaheim crying and begging for mercy. See, God is the same. Always the same. God is always the same. He never changes day and night. He's always the same. Hallelujah. That's because that's the reason that we're not consumed, as the Bible says. So I believe in baptism in Jesus' name. But now let's go a little farther. Is there anything else to do? The Bible said, grow in the grace and grow in the knowledge of God. Isn't that right? He said to grow. I've been baptized in Jesus' name, beloved friend. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I speak with tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. I prophesy. Glory to God, I prophesy. I interpret tongues. God has blessed me. I pray for the sick. We've had good results. I have faith in God. But is there anything else for us to do? Is there anything else? Paul wasn't speaking against baptism. But Paul was simply saying that there's more to be done than just to be baptized in Jesus' name. That is the door. That is the entrance. That is the strong tower. That is the way to get in. That puts us in the resurrection with the Lord Jesus. But there's more to be done. And this is why Paul said, you're disputing over these things. He said, let us go on. Let us go on. Go on to what? He said, to be perfect. Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, there's no such thing as perfect people. But yet the Bible said Job was a perfect man. What did I do? The Bible said, preach the word. The word said Job was a perfect man. So I have to preach that somebody's perfect. And Jesus taught us to go on to perfection. Paul taught to go on to perfection. And as I say, many of these polished scholars of today, they speak away baptism. That's the first thing that they ought not to do. And they say this was not for water and that didn't mean water. But nevertheless, when you go over into Matthew 28, when he said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, he meant water. Can you deny that he meant water? Didn't he mean water? Didn't he mean water? You say, well, what do you mean, Brother Pike? The Bible said at another place, they stopped at a certain place down here, and there was much water, and they baptized right there. Hallelujah. So you're not going to get around water, folks. It's a grave. You need to get washed up. Hallelujah. But there's something else that we need, and that is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We need to go on into perfection. We need not turn again to lay the foundation of repentance of dead works over and over and over. Always sitting around watching some non-virtuous thing on the TV. Always reading non-virtuous magazines. Always got to have the sports page in the paper. Long gossiping tongues and backbiting and doing the things of the world. Come on, folks. You're talking about straining at a gnat, swallowing a camel. The Bible said the blind lead the blind. They all fall into the ditch. There's people that wouldn't stick a pair of scissors in their hair and their tongue is so long they could use it for a pair of scissors. Gossiping, backbiting tongue. Know nothing about holiness. I mean not anything at all. I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about living holy. I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about living holy, being godly. I'm talking about those kind of things. Well, you don't have to scream. Well, I don't know why I do that, but the preachers do that. They just do that. All right. So then lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show my people of their transgressions, the house of Jacob of their sins. I'm glad that you're out here tonight, folks. I love you. I appreciate you. And I'm not coming against any religious person or any religious body. I'm coming against sin. And I'm coming against powers that separate you from the love of God and from the brotherhood. I'm coming against evil. I'm coming against carnality and people that are carnally minded, that they make havoc out of the church and they make merchandise out of the church. And all they're interested in is a name and a title and fame and popularity and money. They're not interested in you nor your soul. David said, I looked over here and I looked over here. I looked on my right hand. I looked on my left hand. I couldn't find anyone that cared for my soul. Have you looked lately to see if you could find someone that cares for your soul? Have you looked lately? Have you found anybody that cares for your soul? I want you to know tonight I care for your soul. I've got to answer to God for this. And one of these days I'll stand there before God. I'll stand there in His presence and He'll be looking at me. And He'll look at me and He'll say, George Pike, why did you preach? Why was you out there? What was you doing? What did you tell them people? Come on, folks. Praise God, you're going to be there with me. Don't you think you ain't? Hallelujah. Like I told a man tonight when we had a little confrontation. I said, we'll be at the judgment. You'll be there and I'll be there. I said, we'll have a chance. We'll have an opportunity to find out who's right and who's wrong. We'll be there. Hallelujah. Peter will be there. And Peter, when Peter stands there, he turns around and looks at me. And Paul stands there and looks at me. He stands and looks at me. And those two men, I say, look, Peter, didn't I preach the same thing you preach? Paul, didn't I preach the same thing that you preach? You know, all that they can say and all that I can say is I preach this. I preach the Word of God. I took it from the Word of God. You said God would send a man and he would preach the Word of God. He that sendeth, God sendeth, will speak the Word of God. I said, that's what I preached, Peter. That's all I knew was what you said and what Paul said. It's going to be all right too, folks. Let me tell you, like the songwriter said, everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Glory to God, you won't have to take the duck head. You can stand there in the midst of those people and lift your hands to heaven and praise God because you taught the right thing. Because you taught the right thing. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? So then we're here tonight just to have a little gathering, a little excitation. To exhort you, and we could stay here all night. I love to preach. My lands, I could preach all night long. There's something in me that could preach all night long. I've talked all night long about the scriptures to somebody. Wake up in the morning, we still be going. Or I say, wake up. See the sun come up in the morning. And still be going strong all night long. Just love it. I love to do it. There's something in me that makes me want to do it. To preach the gospel. But I didn't come out here to hold you late tonight. I didn't come out here to weary you. I come out here to tell you a little bit about Jesus. And as I said, because we've had a little problem here, I'm going to try my best not to hold you long. All right. I want you to stand with me. Somebody said, well, bless God, you just got started. Well, hallelujah. Just got started. I want to... As I said, there's more to it than just being baptized. There's more to it than, as we use the terms, holding the fort. You know, we sing that song, hold the fort, or I am coming. That's good. But David didn't just hold the fort. As a matter of fact, he got in problems because he stayed around the fort too much. In the time of battle, when kings should have been out to battle, he wasn't going out to battle. And he learned he needed to go out to battle. Like Dale said, he couldn't stay around the home front the way Dale was talking because he had to go out to battle. Sometimes you have to go out to battle. I love to stay around the home front all the time. But you can't do that. So we go out to battle. We're fixing to go over into Jerusalem. As far as I know, Dale's going with us. I trust that he is. Going over into the Holy Land. The numbers of people that really wanted to go into the Holy Land with me. When I say that, especially preachers, I've had numbers of people, outstanding preachers that wanted to go with me. I remember Brother Parnell wanted to go. I remember Brother Walden wanted to go. There's a number of them because they know when we move by revelation, and they knew that something was taking place. But I've never failed to go there with them as to what I understood that they was thinking as to their terms of thought. But this is our fourth time over, and we've tried every time to go there by the leading of God. And this time, I did not know that they were having their Jubilee. I didn't know that this year was the Jubilee year. But it has great significance, like being here at this tent has great significance. So we're going over. And in going over, I felt Dale was to go over with us. Still feel that he should go over with us. I feel like this service tonight
If I just elaborated to you just a little bit concerning what this service has to do with or what it was about, you that are the least bit spiritual, you would really be stirred. Perhaps some of you have already perceived some things. Some of you are somewhat spiritual, and perhaps you've already perceived some things. But tonight, if I spoke to you about what this has to do with right here, and connected a few little things as into the surrounding area, what it's all about, you'd be shocked. You would really be shocked. But this thing has to do with the move of God. Dale is not just here having a tent meeting. God has put him here for a purpose. And God has given him an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, to the extent that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he's moving with that. Like the confrontation I had out here tonight, the man is not moving with the Spirit of God. I think he's a fine man, and I wouldn't be critical of him. I think he's a very fine man. But he's in error, and he's not moving with the Spirit of God. He's only concerned about a group of people that he's affiliated with, and he asked that they make no video tonight. Now, folks, now this is my feelings. Since you don't know who I'm talking about, it doesn't matter anyway. You can't put a finger on. But this is my conviction. If I didn't want to be seen on video with people, I certainly, God help me to say this right, because I'm just what I am. I wouldn't be so hypocritical that I would hide behind a thing and not let the man know what I was doing. Now to me, that's where the wrong is. That's where Satan is. That's where the hypocrisy is. It's when you are affiliated with an overseer, affiliated with a group, and you'll go to another group and be there at their meeting and then try to hide it to keep it away from that man and to keep it away from the group. Now that's the devil. Pardon my expression. I said, that's the devil. That's the devil. That's where Lucifer's at. That's the carnal mind. That's the one that causes problems. Whatever I am by the grace of God. I'm not trying to be a Nicodemus to come by night. Praise God, if I'm going to be affiliated with you, I'll let my overseer know it. I'll let everybody know it. You love the Lord? All right, I want you to lift your hands up with me. Say, Brother Pike, what are you doing? I'm just exposing the devil, that's all. Let's just lift our hands up tonight. Let's worship God and let's love the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, tonight, Lord, we don't have any music here right at the moment, Father, to prepare the hearts of the people as to worship. But thy word is sufficient as it was in the days of the apostolic church. God, when they just preached the word, and the people believed the word. And I feel the Holy Ghost falling on the people right now. My Father's Peter spake, the Holy Ghost fell upon them that heard the word. And I feel Him falling on us right now. I ask You, O God, to save these souls tonight. Father, to touch these hearts tonight. Go into the heart, my Father, Lord, and enlarge their hearts. God, to save them and forgive them of their sins. And to take away the evils tonight. God, may You not only save their souls, but may You bring the threefold blessing that You give upon humanity. God, may You bless them in the natural with all they need, Lord, as to this life in the natural, Father, whether it be houses or lands or cars or whatever. And Father, may You bless them in the physical, that they may have the physical strength and the stamina of life to enjoy those blessings. And Father, may You bless them in the spirit that they may have eternal life and eternal security, that they may never be taken away from those blessings and those blessings never taken away from them. May it be so with them and with their loved ones. God, that Your blessings could be with them, that Your blessings in all richness could be with them. Hallelujah. We want to sing a little chorus. And then I'm going to try to turn it back to Dale. Just let's sing a little chorus together. If we strum on the guitar here. I strum on the guitar, but I don't do it very much anymore. While we're standing here, let's examine our hearts. Don't you just love the Word of God? Don't you want Jesus to use you?
Wouldn't you like for Jesus to use you? It's of the greatest of importance that God uses you. Not God uses me, but God uses you. See, you're the members of His body, bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. You're members in particular of His body. And it's of the greatest of importance that you know that and you believe that and let God use you in His work. Maybe you sing, maybe you preach, maybe you testify, maybe you do other things, whatever. Maybe you've got a gift. The Bible teaches the gifts are in the church. And maybe you have a gift and God would use you in the gift. Whatever, men and women alike. I remember the daughters of Philip, how they prophesied. Now I remember Agabus, how he prophesied to the great apostle Paul. See, I remember that. We don't have an organ here tonight. If I'd have thought, well, I did think. But I didn't in time to tell them to bring the organ. We could have brought the organ or brought a piano and helped Dale out a little bit here. Sometimes it's hard to have the things that you need, and it's hard to move them around. It costs a lot of money. You know, seeing this tent tonight, you think, well, you just throw it up. It didn't cost him nothing. But folks, it don't work like that. It don't work like that. I tell you, tent meetings cost money. We've had meetings. The one we had in Jeffersonville, Indiana, I think it cost about $11,000 there that we figured up that meeting cost before we got through. You went down. I remember going down into South America. It cost about $11,000, $12,000. Just going down there to make one trip, one tour down there to try to do something for God. See, it costs a lot of money. We drop in our pennies. We drop in a dime. We drop in a dollar. And we think we've really done something. But I'm going to tell you something. When you're giving to the evangelist, if you drop in $100, you haven't really done anything. Tonight, if someone said, give $100 to Dale, I don't want an offering. I don't want an offering. I thank God I don't need it tonight. I don't need it. I can always use money because evangelists can always use thousands of dollars. And it takes tens of thousands of dollars for us to operate. But I'm not here to get an offering. That's not the purpose. But I'm just saying, we'll put $1,000 in an old junk car or $5,000 or $40,000 in a home. But when it comes to God, we'll drop in the pennies, we'll drop in the dollar, and we'll think the man of God ought to get by with that and that ought to be enough. That's right, folks. And a lot of times, because you don't give it to people that love God, that is a true minister, you wind up sending it PTL. Pardon me now. Pardon me now. If I get on your toes, pardon me. You send it to PTL. You put it into bags with holes in it. You put it into a place of corruption because you didn't have a love for the truth, trying to get around the gospel, trying to get around the truth. You find your own preacher. You have itchy ears, so you pick your own preacher and you send your money there and you throw it in a rat hole. You throw it in a rat hole and you lose all of your investment. Isn't that right? So we need to put our time, we need to put our substance, we need to put everything that we've got, our strength, into the things of God. While they're singing, Jesus used me. That was a song I wanted them to sing right there. I want you to start right here and I want you to just come up to the altar. Just come up to the altar. Come up to the altar. Right here. Come on, folks. The Bible said the king's matter requires haste. Come on. Come on. Just come on up to the altar. Come right on up to the altar. Let's just come in around the altar. And we're going to press in real close so that we can just get a blessing from God tonight. Isn't that right? So we can have a blessing from God. Just come on around the altar. The other night, down a little tent down Placidio, Texas, along the border, a few days ago, we was having a little altar call down there, and the people pressed in the way you're doing tonight, trying to tell them about Jesus. Trying to tell them about Jesus. If you believe in the ministry of Christ, you believe in the ministry of God, just come on up. Come on up. Show tonight where you're at. Show your colors. Stand for God. Nobody's going to put you down. The Bible said, if your ways please God, He maketh thee and thine enemies to be at peace with you. And though they may come out against you one way, God will make them to flee before you seven ways. And then the Bible said, they that live godly in Christ Jesus is going to suffer persecution. Isn't that right? But listen now. The Bible said, the false prophet, all of them spake well of him. Isn't that right? Said you'd be delivered out before magistrates, all kind of people for my name's sake. And you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's give God another hand, can you? Praise God. Hallelujah. I feel God here tonight. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God.
I want you to lift your hands up. I want you to close your eyes. Dale, will you come back up here? Lift your hands up. Close your eyes. Will you do that for me? You ministers, come up here with me. Come up here, brother. You ministers, come up here with me. Come on, come up here with me now. Hallelujah. We're going to pray tonight. We're going to pray tonight. And we're going to ask God to heal you tonight and ask God to do something for you. Will you believe with me? Will you believe with me? Hallelujah. Lift your hands up. Let's join hands, brother. While we're praying together here now, we're going to ask God to heal you. You pray. You might say, well, I don't need healing, Brother Pike. Well, pray for me. Pray for the others. There's some people that do need healing. Pray for God to bless those that's oppressed. Pray that God will do it. Hallelujah. Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, I pray, O God, that you'd heal these people. May your spirit be here, Jesus, and may you heal tonight. May the mighty Holy Ghost, Father, move among these people tonight. May they be healed tonight, Father. May they be blessed tonight, Father. May your spirit come down upon them, and the grace of God and the glory of God be here tonight. I ask you to heal these people. I ask you to bless these people in the wonderful name of Jesus. Lift your hands up and love the Lord. Lift your hands up and love the Lord.